to Lismore Baptist Church on this Easter. This is it is Easter indeed, and it is an opportunity where we can contemplate on the resurrection of Christ, which is of course what I am going to preach on today. But before we get into the Word of God, I think we should just start with a prayer. So, Father, we come before you now. I thank you that your Word is coming to us, that your Word is alive. And although this is a recording, Father, prayers works on both sides of time, both the past and then the present. So we thank you that even as I preach that this pre-recorded sermon, we know that the prayers that we are praying, Father, are still as effective and as real to you when we make our requests, as if it as if you were with us at the present moment. So we thank you and ask that you may just open our hearts now, Father, to the message of what it means to have you, through your Son, being resurrected and the impact that it has in this world and in our lives. Amen. So the passage that I've chosen for the sermon today is 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 14. And if you've got your Bibles there with you, perhaps you can read there along with me. And I'll start there from verse 1 in chapter 15, 1 Corinthians. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, or Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and I do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. That's the word of God. And it is Easter, and of course we have to talk to it. We cannot get away from the most important thing to remember at Easter, which of course is the resurrection of Jesus. And that is of course the main focus of this passage that we are looking at here. And in that, I think what we can sort of tease out is that Christianity is actually primarily an announcement of some historical facts. It is a proclamation of one particular historical event. And only secondarily is it about a way of dealing with life or a teaching. It's only secondarily a teaching or a philosophy or a set of principles for life. And it is actually quite important, and this is what I hope that I'll achieve, is what's important is to stress the difference. And why is it so important to stress this difference? That the teaching of Christ is secondarily to his resurrections. The reason why that is so important is what Paul says there in verse 14. Because if Christ is not raised, then our preaching is useless, or in other words, it is powerless. It is just what it is, a teaching. Now, okay, the actual word preaching, normally when we think preaching, we think about pulpit, don't we? When we associate with church, it's sort of often this what we call a one-way sort of communication, and some might even define it as a moral lecture that sort of sets people straight, or a way to encourage. That's what's often associated with the word preaching. But Paul and the other disciples actually very deliberately used this word because that would accurately describe and communicate what they were on about. They chose actually this word, which in the Bible is translated as preaching, because it was very, very specific and meaningful at the time. The word preach actually comes from the Greek word kerusso. And it was something very different, and it meant something very different from the word that is in the Greek for teach. It was something very different, something that deliberately stood actually opposed to the idea of teach or philosophy or to speak out wisdom. What preaching actually meant was actually to be a herald or a crier. To do preaching is to proclaim groundbreaking news, something absolutely serious that has implications and authority. You can probably call it what is sometimes termed hard news. And that's actually how the social media of the day worked. That's how it worked at the day of Jesus. What would happen was that a runner would come running through towns, and he would be crying out the events of the day. Or they would have sometimes a billboard in the town, and then the herald person would sort of cry out preach out the news on or crucial announcements that people had to hear. They didn't, back in those days, have a difference between hard news and what is called sometimes hard news and soft news. And you might ask, what's the difference actually between hard news and soft news? Well, soft news is something that we're actually confronted with in our daily lives all the time. Soft news are actually sort of like the heartwarming stories or what's is sometimes called consumer tips. For example, you would read or hear in TV or read in a magazine or in a paper, you would hear something like, experts reveal how to handle stress, or experts have found a new diet that would help you to sleep better at night. It's soft news. Or how about this one? Two puppies rescued by RSPCA. Soft news. We hear them all the time. They are ideas, life tips, concepts, new perspectives and encouragement. But it is the kind of things you can just pick up and then leave. Then there's hard news. What's that? Well, hard news, that's the kind of news you must know, because it affects the entire community. There will be things like, for example, an announcement of that there has been a raise in the pension and New Start payments. There has been fires. or the coronavirus is spreading. Hospitals are at capacity. That's hard news. Do you see the difference between hard and soft news? Soft news you can ignore. It has little or no permanent life-transforming relevance. Whereas hard news, they have a profound effect on your life and they just cannot be ignored. If there's a war, job losses, a rapid spread of disease, it affects you. It will overtake you and it will run you down if you ignore it. It's hard news. Now, sort of when we look at TV or we read papers, we get, actually, there's a bit of a mix. We get both soft and hard news. But it was not like that back in the days of Jesus or Paul and the apostles. They only, in those days, got the hard news, news of profound significance. So back then, you wouldn't sort of have a herald come running through town and say, listen, everybody, listen up. Let me pronounce to you, this is what is the latest fashion in Damascus this year. Or they certainly wouldn't say something like, hey, Athens has been voted as the most beautiful city in the Mediterranean this year. And then sort of you wouldn't hear them go on and say, and now the latest tips on how to toggle work, exercise and family. This is just not what a herald would proclaim back then or what would be pinned down on a town pin board, because they only proclaimed hard news. And that was exactly what Paul and the disciples did. They proclaimed hard news. They proclaimed the gospel through the power and resurrection of Jesus, the message of Christianity. And it was not primarily a philosophy. This is important. It was not primarily a teaching, a way to help you deal with life. It was not consumer tips that they were dealing with. Although these things are important, these were only secondarily attached to the whole idea of the resurrection of Jesus. The death and the resurrection was something that happened. It was a significant event in history that affects the way things presently are. It was a milestone, something that changes everything, that actually changes the world, something from which all new changes would come. That's the kind of announcement a herald would bring to town. Hard news. And that was what Paul meant when he said, I am a preacher, I am preaching. These hard news is what makes Christianity actually different from all other kinds of religions that exist out there. Because, I've actually studied this at length at university, because all other religion more or less talks about what you would call soft news. You see, all other religions there just say, look, this is the philosophy and teaching you must follow. Or they will say, this is how you get wisdom. This is how you become a good and moral person. This is how you get a sense of well-being, security, success. And this is how you work on yourself to get peace with God. That's what they do. And what's really interesting is that actually out there in the secular world, that is the modern world, which is an understanding of the world without any sort of spirituality or any God at all whatsoever. But that secular world is actually very similar to the religions that preach these soft news. Because the Western secular world actually floods us with soft news just as well. Because if you go to an airport and look at the bookshelves there, if you read magazines and as you look through books and here on some of the news channels, you will hear things like how to get filled with soft news about how to get confidence, how to break into your chosen field, how to deal with grief and loss and anxiety, health and stress, and how science will eradicate all poverty, social and health problems. All these things are great. Don't get me wrong. But it's all about experts who tell or teach you how to deal with your anxiety, how to live the good life, find the love of your life, etc., etc. But just like other religions, it's a philosophy of life. It's about giving you some principles for living, solutions to our problems. Every other religion is like that. And the secular world is like that. It brings a kind of soft news. But this is where Christianity is different, because it comes in and says, no, we are news. We are hard news. In proclaiming the death and resurrection of Jesus as a historical fact, we're actually referring to an event that will change life as we know it. That event alone contains real power to pass on power into any teaching that flows out of this event. It would actually affect how we deal with worry and well-being, relationships, and how to be successful and a good community member. But primarily, first and foremost, we are hard news. The idea that something significant has happened. It is actually quite interesting how over the last many decades, the church actually, I'm talking here about the wider church, to a great extent, for fear of becoming irrelevant, have turned Christianity into soft news. And consequently, the teaching of Jesus has been given the teaching, and I'll say it again, the teaching of Jesus has been a primary role over that of Jesus himself and his person. You see, the church has not wanted to appear superstitious and anti-modern. So they have often played down miracles and the idea of Jesus being God and his resurrection. And instead, they have emphasized his teaching. They would say something like, come, you know, and then we will teach you how to deal with your anxiety, find your potential, teach you how we can all get along better, improve your relationship. And they say something like, look at Easter. We can't really believe in that anymore. Jesus rising from the dead. Take that literally as a historical fact. Nah, we can't do that. But Easter, well, what we have in Easter is that we have the principles of Easter. Doesn't nature teach us that after winter comes spring? Doesn't nature teach us that even after death and destruction there can be a new beginning? That when things go bad, we can discover lessons and we can grow, begin afresh. Isn't that the principles of Easter? The principles of life? What have they done here? What they've done is that they've actually demythologized Easter and Christianity and just extrapolated the teaching and good example of in some sort of patronizing, sweet and gentle Jesus. But they say, we can't believe the facts. We can't believe Jesus actually physically and historically rose from the grave. What they're really saying is the idea that often is proposed is that Christianity started out as a teaching and nothing else. And all these myths of the resurrection and the divinity of Jesus was something that got attached to Christianity much later. All the fantastic and the superstitious was just padding, you know, it was put on and ignorant people believed in it. But, of course, we still believe in the principles, loving your neighbor, that in every death there can be life and there is hope in the midst of darkness. But in doing that, they're changing Christianity to look like every other religion. And I can tell you now that Christianity never emerged on the back of some nice and clever teaching. How do we know that? How can we tell? You see, the first Christians, they were utterly transformed and changed. And people, they looked at them and they said, what is happening to these people? Look at how they love. Look at how fearless they are, how generous they are, how caring they are, not just for themselves and not for gain, but how caring they are towards other. They die for each other and even for people they don't know. They have a hope. They have an amazing joy. What is happening? to these people? What changed them to be like that? Everybody was saying that. Now, can you imagine that all that really happened, according to a more liberal understanding of Christianity, can you imagine it was just Paul coming to town saying, listen, listen, I have a message. Love your neighbor. In every death, there can be life. Listen, when things go bad, we discover lessons and we can grow. We can begin afresh because after winter comes spring. In every cloud, there is a silver lining. Look, I know you are oppressed by foreign Roman troops. And I know that many of you are slaves and you are hungry and you are physically and economically oppressed. But can't you see that one day it would all come to the end? There is a little lesson here somewhere before it all gets better. I know that many of you have been in prison and beaten, but let me tell you how to handle worry. Let me give you some tips on a new diet and show you that you can do anything if you just put your mind to it. Can you imagine a slave at that time hearing this type of message from Paul and then say, I understand. This is going to change my life and I'll become a better and more fulfilled person. Now I can face a life of slavery because after winter comes spring. Do you see what I'm trying to get at? But Christianity and Easter is not that. It's not that kind of soft news. It's hard news. It's something that truly changes everything. God has broken through history. He was born and he died for our sins and he was raised from the dead. That's what's changed everything. What else could have changed those people who claimed to have met the resurrected Jesus? It changed them. It changed all kinds of people. They were high and they were low. Smart. Not so smart. They changed them all. Didn't matter where they come from. Completely. How? The power of the resurrection worked in them. You see, do you remember Peter? He was with Jesus for quite a while. But when he got arrested, Peter ran away from Jesus and he denied Jesus. He hid away and he was scared and timid. He was a wreck. But something happened to him after he met the resurrected Jesus and a new power came over him. Suddenly he was this thundering voice proclaiming the resurrected Jesus, defiant at the threat of death, torture and imprisonment that the authorities threatened him with if he continued to preach about the resurrected Jesus. He was a changed man. He was empowered by the resurrected Jesus. I tell you, soft news could not have changed Peter like that. The early Christians said, something has happened. Go and check the evidence. As we read from the passage, 500 people were witnesses. They still lived at that time. They were witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus. So people could go and investigate the truth claims of this themselves. And we later on in Acts chapter 26, we hear about Paul. We're going to hear about him a little bit more later. But Paul actually was proclaiming the gospel throughout the Roman Empire, and the Roman authorities at one point got hold of him, and he came before Festus and Agrippa there in Acts 26, where he gave a defense of the gospel. And what he was saying, what he said to Festus, he said, look, what I'm proclaiming was not just something that nobody knew of, because, as it said, he uses this word, this was not done in a corner. Something dramatic had happened and it was for all to see at the time. Everybody knew about it. Even Festus could not deny that something dramatic had happened. You know, when Joseph Smith, the one who founded the Mormon religion, what he said, look, an angel appeared to me, now trust me. And actually, the same thing happened to Muhammad. Apparently, he said that the archangel Gabriel came to him in a cave, and then he said the same thing. Now you must trust me. Then that was what happened. But Christianity does not look like did not emerge like that. Christianity says, look at the evidence for the resurrections. There were 500 witnesses, and they were not hallucinating. You don't get sort of delusions in groups or hallucinate in groups. And there was the empty tomb. How was that to be explained? We are not. You see, the first Christian said, we are not coming here with a philosophy or a new teaching saying, hey, why don't you just try this? This is not solely a recipe for handling life better. This is hard news that we are bringing, they said. It is the transformative power of the resurrected Jesus, which is a true event, and everybody knows about it. And its power is now here among us and working among us, as you have all well seen yourselves. You see, God came to earth and rose from the dead, and he met with people like Paul. Prior to meeting Christ, Paul actually persecuted the church. Of course, he'd heard about Jesus, because he persecuted the Christians. But he also knew about Jesus. He'd heard some of his teaching. But it wasn't until he met the resurrected Jesus, it completely changed his life, to the point where he could even laugh in the face of death. You see, something happened. He met the resurrected Christ. And there's no way to understand Christianity actually until you meet the resurrected Christ yourself. It was not a teaching. It was not a teaching. It was a proclamation of the inherent power for transformation that is found only in the resurrected Jesus. There is no way to understand how the church got started if it was just a philosophy or teaching. It was a proclamation. Something happened. Paul didn't understand Jesus was the Son of God until he saw the resurrected Jesus. Now, there is hope in the resurrection because death could not hold Jesus down. It says that in Acts 2:23-24. In that passage, it says that it was impossible for death to hold him down. Normally, nothing can stop death. We know that in this world, everything decays. Mountains will eventually crumble, and the seas will dry up. Even the sun and the earth will end in death. And Jesus himself actually was swallowed by death, but he exploded in his bowels, which is an expression of Timothy Keller. Jesus was swallowed by death, but he exploded in its bowels. Did you hear that? He did not just defy, survive, or deny death. He destroyed death. And that's why Paul could say, where is your sting? Where is your victory? He says that then in 1 Corinthians 15:55-57. It says, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah? Death has been defeated. But anyone who does not have the resurrection power within them will always have to deal with the constant threat of death, the anxieties it brings. They will always be in search for solutions, the diets, the self-help, the science, the search for health, to postpone the inevitable. You know, there was this famous existentialist, Albert Camus. He was French, Algerian. And he said this, that the fact that we all have to die cast a shadow over life. And he gave this example. You can sort of imagine, if you were to be executed and shot by executed and shot by a firing squad at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, what would that do to you? Now, imagine if those that were to execute you came up to you and said, look, we're not totally heartless, but why don't you tell me what kind of food you enjoy the most and what kind of music you love the most? And you tell them, oh, look, I just love Roast Lamb. Or you say, I love listening to Vivaldi. And they say, well, I think we can arrange that. We are not callous and totally heartless. So we'll let you have a meal of roast lamb, and you'll be able to listen to Vivaldi before we shoot you in the morning. Have some fun before you die. But can't you see, the very fact that you'll be shot tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock makes it really difficult to enjoy your roast lamb and Vivaldi. Can you see that? Camus said that is actually the kind of life situation that we are all in. We are all going to die. How can you enjoy anything? You're going to die. But Paul's attitude was very different. He took it, you know, stared death right in the eye and said, bring it on, if you have to. Because if death comes and knocks me over, all it will do is it will make me better than I ever was. Try and reach out and get me, and all you can do is to make me more glorious. I defy you, death. Death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? That's what he said. Paul's attitude was very different. Very different. Paul then says, if our proclamation is true, then our preaching is not just useless, powerless teaching. But instead, it is actually very useful. It has the power of the resurrected Christ within us who believe. That means that you've now got something to handle anything. And of course, my question is to you this morning, if you're listening this morning, that is, do you believe in the risen Christ? Is he your Savior? Because in that case, you can actually face death. You can face anything, worry, trouble, you name it. You see, if you believe in the risen, that the risen Christ is in control of history, then even the bad things that are happening to you are crosses that are going to do nothing but to raise you up. Jesus, the risen Lord, is in charge of everything. He's working all things out for your good and for my good. So that it means that every, even bad things, will turn out good somehow. The worst thing that can happen to me will actually be the best thing that can happen to me. Do you believe this? Are your worries overcoming you, or is Jesus overcoming you? It's not that the early Christians were made of sterner stuff than you. But they simply looked at everything through the resurrection. Are you looking at everything through the resurrection? The early Christians had an amazing joy, even when the world was on top of them. They said, I look at death and there you are, but you can't hurt me. I look at trouble and I feel it. Really, you can't hurt me. Why? Because of the fact of the resurrection. Because Jesus has come. Christianity is not a bunch of soft, nice story. So what if spring comes after winter? Only the resurrected Christ can make us emerge to real life. You see, through Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection, you and I have been made righteous. We are free from the condemnation of the law. It says that there in Romans 1, 8, chapter 8, 1 to 2. You see, the law of God says that the penalty for sin and rebellion against God is death. Sin and rebellion is, what is that? It is denying God's rule and authority by taking matters into our own hands and creating a lie of our own choosing without Him, and living a life following the guidance of soft news to find fulfillment. But God's word here says that it's death, because the wages of sin, living apart from God, out without recognizing God, the wages of sin is death. It says that in Romans 6:23. But this is the good news. Jesus has made us right with God through his death and resurrection. Jesus took the penalty for our rebellion, yours and mine, upon himself, the penalty that you deserved, out of his love for you. Now, when God looks at you, he sees Jesus. And he looks at you as if you'd never broken the law or any rule, never rebelled, ever. You have the righteousness of Jesus, who never rebelled or never broke any law. And that's why we can say there is no longer I. We even sing that song from time to time. It's no longer I, but Christ that lives in me. The resurrection power inherent in Christ through the Holy Spirit now is part of your DNA. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Romans 6:1-4 says, we died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. That's hard news. The fact and power of the resurrection has been implanted into you, injected into you. A power that has made you into a new and different being. You died. That's what Jesus, what Easter is all about. You died with Jesus on the cross, and you have been raised from the dead just as Jesus resurrected from the dead. And to the degree and the degree to which you embrace this new life is the same degree that the old would lose its hold on you. Nothing. No grief, no sorrow, no pain, no disease, trouble or loss will, and I'm using this word carefully, will ultimately be able to overcome the new creation you are. It's not that we are not feeling these things. Of course we are. But we are not overcome by them. Are you a Paul? Are you a Peter? Maybe not. But perhaps unlike them, we, and I do, forget to see the world through the resurrection. We are worried and we're scared. I know I am. Look at the world and what's happening out there, and it's going pear-shaped at the moment. Even though we do see this horror out there, should we feel defeated? But I tell you, if the power that has won over death is in us and in you, then we have a hope. And yes, we worry and we grieve, but we have a power to overcome it. We are not alone. Jesus and his power and his care and his love is there right with us as we go through these things. Even when we fail to apprehend the power of the resurrection and we worry over things we shouldn't, and worry over things that are truly worrisome, when we fail to apprehend the power and grab onto it, then Jesus will still be there with us, helping us, weak as we are, to help us rediscover the resurrection power and reality that can help us get through everything in ways that no soft news or teaching can ever do. Let us never make the gospel message into some kind of soft news. something that creates just a better humanity, a kind of rehabilitation theory or good works program, something like a social or political action type thing, or psychological philosophy, or any other type of human agenda. Easter and Jesus and Christianity, it's about the resurrection power of God, true hard news. His power alone can make changes and empower us to withstand everything, good or bad, in this life. You know, Hitler and Marx, they tried to start a whole new humanity, but they failed. Kind and good-hearted people have started organizations, and God bless them for that. And many causes and great people have tried for a while, and bless them for that. But the love of God and the power of the resurrection that has flooded this planet is the only real power, the only real and lasting power for change, because it has defeated death, the ultimate threat to our well-being and peace. I hope that this makes sense. I hope that we can cling on to this as we go about in this world of uncertainty. Everyone is looking for certainty, even people with no faith. They find it primarily in soft news. But I just want to encourage you to come and meet Jesus, the resurrected Jesus. There is power in that. It is not just a figment of our imagination. Easter was a real event, and it's there for us as a gift through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you. I do praise you that you send your Son, that he should die, but only to raise. In power, nothing could hold him down. And as we believe and have faith, not in our own faith, but that as we believe in the power that Jesus and Jesus alone possess, and believe that he has transferred that to us in his love, Father, may we just be transformed, renewed and refreshed, so we can face the difficulties, the real difficulties that are pressing in on us, even as we speak in these uncertain times. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.